Grace and peace to you all from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to Cook's Memorial Presbyterian Church as we seek to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. As always, before we begin worship this morning, I have several announcements to make. First of all, we are collecting perishable food items for loaves and fishes through today, November 21st. But if you would still like to give and maybe you've forgotten, left them behind at home, no worries. Just make sure they're here at the church office tomorrow, no later than noon. Tonight, we got kind of a fun event, I hope. We've got the Hanging of the Greens decorating party. That starts at 4:30 in the sanctuary. And so the joy of the season kicks off tonight, right? Like, we get to go into the Advent season starting next week. And we get to decorate this beautiful sanctuary. And so to kind of hope and maybe that we can make this an event, I've made a big pot of chili. I think the ladies are going to come in and knock out some cornbread. And so the idea is you come here, you do a little decorating, get in the mood, come over there, get you some chili, and that's a cheap dinner, free, really. And you know, that's how Christmas memories start getting made, right? So come tonight, 4:30, grab a thing of garland, string it around, and then come get you some chili, right? Okay, we're collecting monetary donations and gift cards instead of toys this year for our 2021 Angel Tree. If you donate gift cards, please use Visa or MasterCard or Walmart-branded cards. Please make any checks out to Cook's Church that you wish to give money for this to and mark them for the Angel Tree on the memo line. Those need to be turned in no later than December 12th. Poinsettia or poinsettias, however you favor it, the order forms are in the narthex or the church office to call and place an order. The deadline for that is Tuesday. So if you'd like to honor or remember somebody in your lives with a wonderful flower, the poinsettia, or as I said, poinsettias, then you know how to do it. We're going to collect the 10 sits a meal offering next Sunday, so that's something to keep up for with. Cook's has called for a congregational meeting to be held on Sunday, December 5th, at the end of worship to elect elders to the class of 2024. The daily bread devotionals are now available and can be picked up in their usual place. Plan now for our Christmas Eve worship service that we'll be having at 5 o'clock p.m. on December the 24th. We've got congratulations for Jerry and Bonnie Spurlock, who celebrated their 50th anniversary yesterday on November the 20th. May God bless their marriages and give them 50 more together. And the flowers in the sanctuary this morning are in memory of our brothers Michael and Wiley Duckworth Jr. by Dolores Freeman and Daryl Duckworth. Also, the second lovely arrangement is in honor of Phyllis and Don Monteith's 60th wedding anniversary, which was November 19th, from Joel Hilton and Elizabeth Bullock. We wish you many more years together. Those are the announcements that I have this morning. Are there any other announcements that need to be brought before the congregation at this time? Yeah, okay.
I just want to thank everybody for coming to our soup and sandwich lunch last week. We collected $541, which will go to the Presbyterian Women USA to fund other grants. So we're very pleased, and there was nothing left. Right. It was all eaten.
Great, great. That's fantastic. Yes, that was a wonderful event that really celebrates so much of what we try to do here in ministry and in fellowship. Yeah.
One of the women that worked there, somebody has to watch in the kitchen. It's a women's watch. It's in the kitchen.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's there. We saw it yesterday. Those are the announcements that I have. And so let's now open our hearts and minds to the worship of God, beginning with our call to worship.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth.
Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing.
Know that the Lord, he is God.
It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture.
Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
Join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we've come before you this day with hearts overflowing. Overflowing, Lord, with the worries and the concerns and the burdens of this world broken by sin. And yet, O Lord, in your Son, Jesus Christ, we encounter not only the fullness of what our lives can and should be, but Heavenly Father, we encounter your forgiveness and the wonderful power of your Holy Spirit to accomplish. So, gracious God, now turn that bitterness, that resentment, that anger at the way things are, transform it in the power of your Holy Spirit to the things we need. We need humility, Lord. We need self-sacrificial love, Lord. And we need the energy and the desire to do things to make your name known. Heavenly Father, we just ask that in this brief time of worship, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would be with us, vivifying us, giving us that life that we so desperately desire and crave. And then at your table, feeding us spiritually through your Lord's table, innervate us to the work that lies ahead. Prepare us, Heavenly Father, to be your ambassadors from here to the very ends of the earth. We pray all these things to you in the strong and hopeful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whom we live and breathe and have our being this day and forever. Amen. Please rise now, those of you who are able, and join me in the singing of our first hymn, number 367. We're greeted by the knowledge that we have fallen short of the glory of God very easily and very often in the course of our days. We say something that's only half true. We neglect something that needs to get done, or we callously look on the hurt of the world and choose instead to see what's on television. We fail and fall short every single day. And yet the good news of the gospel confronts us with the reality that God's love for us is not dependent on or the absence of our sin, but instead is in and through his Son with us at all times and in all ways. Which means that just like 1 John teaches us, if we say that we have no sin, then the truth is not in us and we deceive ourselves. But that if we are faithful, that we will confess our sins to a God, knowing that he, more faithful than I, will not than ourselves, he will not only forgive our sins, but forgive us of all unrighteousness. So I invite you now to join me in our prayer of confession found in this morning's bulletin. Merciful God, we confess that we've become too friendly with the world. We've allowed right and wrong, good and evil, to be determined by others instead of your holy word. Wandering through life like sheep without a shepherd, we've become accustomed to the comforts of society rather than disciplining ourselves according to your will and your way. Forgive us, Heavenly Father. Restore us again to the joy of your salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That moment of sadness that we feel at the way that we've treated the world in ignorance or in ignorance of God or in his spurning, and yet the good news is there nevertheless. That God in the fullness of time took flesh in and through Jesus Christ, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, he died on the cross so that we would be raised to heaven without fear of sin. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we all are forgiven. Amen. In that space of forgiveness, it is right and fitting that we turn our attention to a declaration of what it is this and every church of Jesus Christ believes. We use an ancient creed, the Apostles' Creed, in which we lift up the tenets of our faith directly, succinctly, and without error. Join me now as we make that confession. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose the dead and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. Amen. Friends, please be seated now and join me with our meditative hymn number 336. Come now into a special time just for our children that will be led by Emily Hunter this morning. So children, if you'll come and have a seat on the carpet.
So what is this week? What happens at the end of this week?
Thanksgiving.
And your grandmother's birthday. So when I married my husband, Sheldon, when we started going to Thanksgiving at his family's house, his mom has a tradition of everyone sharing something that they're thankful for before we eat dinner. Do any of you have traditions like that at your house? No?
No.
No? Yep. So what I thought we would do today is I've got some things for you, and before I give them to you, I thought maybe you would tell me something that you're thankful for this Thanksgiving. Anybody want to start? You're thankful for your family? Okay. Anybody else thankful for anything? That your family came and visited. Yep, it's nice to have families coming back and being able to visit with people, right? Yep. Well, I'm thankful that Sheldon remembers things sometimes that I don't remember. Yep. He helps me because I forget some things sometimes. That's a story for another day. Anybody else got anything they're thankful for? For playing outside. Me too. Yep, that's a good thing to be thankful for. Well, what I have for you today is a little card, and it says, I'm thankful for. And so I think what you could do is maybe when you get home today, or as you all are helping your moms and dads or grandparents or anybody special that you're doing Thanksgiving with, you could maybe ask them what they're thankful for and make a whole list of things that your family's thankful for, and you could share that with your family before your Thanksgiving meal. And then I have something else for you. So, do you all know anything about ducks?
Yes.
Yeah? What do you know about ducks?
They got a hook in their mouth.
They get a hook. They can get a hook in their mouth.
Like they have a hook in their mouth.
Oh. Yeah? Anybody else know anything about ducks?
They love to eat bread.
They do like to eat bread. Yep. They're like us like that. Well, ducks, I did some research, and ducks are very social. So they're kind of like us people, right? We like to be with each other.
There was a lot of gooses at my school, and even though they were two different flocks, they were just being a little bit apart and not attacking each other.
Yeah.
Like most birds normally would.
Ducks are very social. Geese are social, too. So does anybody know what a flock of ducks is called? Geese? No? Maybe, that's a good guess. Well, they're called either rafts, like a raft, like a boat raft, or they're called teams. So if you think about how we are as people, we're very social, and we organize ourselves in teams, like our church. I would consider our church a team, or maybe you're on a sports team or things like that. So I have some ducks for you today. These are ducks. And we're going to call them our Thanksgiving ducks. And I'm going to give each of you two of them. One is for you to keep. And when you're thinking about things that you're thankful for, you can always have your duck to think about that. But I want you to take your other duck that you get and give it to somebody else. And maybe tell them about something that you're thankful for. So that's a way that we can share our thankfulness with others. Okay? So before I give you your ducks, let's pray. So, dear Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for all the things that you bless us with. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. Well, before you leave, if you want to get your ducks.
We come now into a time of reading and proclaiming the word of our Lord God, and we do so as always, beginning with a prayer, asking him to illuminate his word for us. Join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you the way it sustains us and feeds us as no other thing can. Gracious God, remind us always, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, awaken us to the truthfulness that your word never changes, never fails us, never leaves our side, because it is indeed always united with your Son, Jesus Christ. And as we read it and proclaim it, O Lord, we speak the words that you would have us speak and do the things you would have us do. In his holy and everlasting name we pray. Amen.
I'll be reading the Old Testament reading today. If you would like to join, it is on page 570 in your pew Bible, and we'll be reading Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. May the people praise you, O God. May all the people praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the people justly and guide the nations of the earth. Excuse me. May the people praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest. Our God will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Word. Thanks, Dale. We come now, actually, I've already done that part, haven't I? Amazing how scattered my mind can be at times. Thanksgiving always held a very special place for me in my heart. A lot of that was, I think, conditionally. You know, I grew up removed from the South, as painful as that was, and I just didn't know it at the time. My parents were in Ohio when I was born, working with my dad's job. And Thanksgiving for us was a real special time because at Christmas we would travel down here and that required the West Virginia Turnpike and my mom and dad's anxiety to be cresting. Not a lot of fun. But Thanksgiving we always did in Springfield until I was about 5 or 6, I believe, years old. And there were a couple of things that always made Thanksgiving awesome. The local UHF affiliate back then, and I think it continued down here, always played Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory in the week leading up to Thanksgiving at some point. Man, we loved that film. This was the days before there were, you know, VHS tapes or CDs or, you know, DVDs, anything like that. So if it was on television, that was your shot. You watched it, and man, did we love the Oompa Loompas and Veruca Salt and all that. That was a great, great show. The other part was my dad's brother, my Uncle Fred, and his wife, Aunt Opal, would come up to Springfield to celebrate with us. And it was always just a nice time to connect with my uncle and my aunt, who I didn't get to see very often. And so Thanksgiving became, for me, a very special time. But I confess, I mean, the last, I think it's been 3 years now, 3 or 4, Thanksgiving has kind of represented a bit of a downer. You know, first of all, my sister having died in 2017, very late in that year, I think August. Well, I don't know that I had recovered or anybody in my family. And that first Thanksgiving, well, it was tough. Then, fast forward a couple of years, and you guys know what happens. My father passes away right on the precipice of Thanksgiving. Y'all, that Thanksgiving meal, I'd already agreed to cook in advance. And it was almost impossible to get off the couch. And I can only tell you, only by the power of the Holy Spirit that happened. But this year, right? COVID seems to be on the wane. You know, I've bridged the difficulty with the losses of my father by God's word and the Holy Spirit. And so I rejoice at the prospect of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is just one of those holidays that's unmistakably in its orientation Christian. Now, that doesn't mean to say that you can't, if you do not believe in Jesus Christ, celebrate Christmas. There's a lot in secular society there that I think we can be thankful for. But as Christians, we recognize that there is no division between the secular and the sacred, because everything is created by the same God. And so for us, this is such a needed holiday, especially in the society in which we travel in. We need it because it orients us to the one thing that is difficult to summon: thankfulness to God. You know, I was thinking, they've got those stickers that kids that are trying to learn a foreign language put on things. And it says, you know, with pulpit, whatever pulpit is in that other language, and that way you can kind of learn. I was just thinking, as I was sitting here listening to Finley do our call to worship, that what we probably really need are just little stickers that say thanks on everything, so that we'll have that ongoing reminder. Because Thanksgiving in our society is sorely lacking. We're going to talk about that. But the scriptural admonition, the scriptural direction on gratitude and thankfulness in our lives, it's rock solid. We can't miss it. I'm going to read you one of my favorite passages as it relates to Thanksgiving as we prepare. I read this morning from Colossians, the third chapter, verses 12 through 17. I invite you now to hear the word of our Lord. "Put on, then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And the peace, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. On whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, it was with a relative surprise, but probably a fair amount more of consternation, that when my children decided that they wanted a Halloween inflatable decoration, as we went to go get one at the Lowe's on October 5th, we discovered that the Lowe's was already a winter wonderland. On October 5th, the Halloween section had been relegated to a corner by the checkout, and in and sparkling and full regalia was the Christmas display. And it made me realize that our spiritual forefathers, the Puritans, had some things really right. Not everything, right? Not everything. They made a lot of mistakes. Had a lot of bad theology, really. But one thing they nailed was the Thanksgiving. You see, even though the birth of Christ, Christ Mass, had been going on for generations, the Puritans that settled America avoided Christmas celebrations with anything ostentatious or even a special meal. And they did so because they had seen a dynamic that I think we see all too terribly well. That when gifts are involved, tangible gifts, that it's awful easy to get sidetracked. And now what we see around Christmas time is the far greater thrust on what we can acquire for the people that we love as a means to make them happy, that quite often we miss the fact that if we locate our happiness in stuff, even relationships with people on this side of an hereafter, that we're in fact making them an idol. We're worshiping part of what God has created, not what God is. And that can lead us down some pretty bad roads. And it does, I think, very clearly and without question. See, the Puritans thought Christmas was a trap because they seen what had happened to society that was given free rein to make it all about happiness and joy. We yearn for those things in our hearts. It's not any wonder we love Christmas. And happiness and joy are where we want to be. They're the warm fuzzies, and I wish I could have it all the time. So if we could have Christmas Day every day, I would be happily there. Watch all the Hallmark movies you wanted me to. You could put me with a little Santa hat. But we know that life doesn't exist in that capacity. And what we need now, it isn't joyfulness, it isn't contentment. Our hearts want those. They can be found in Jesus Christ, and we can talk about that in another service. That's what we get from worship in Jesus. But what we need right now, more than anything else, is a whole lot of thanks. A bucket full of gratitude, if you will. Because there is something in being thankful that is necessary and yet largely absent, going the way of the dodo in our present society. You see, what we need right now is humility. We need to be reminded of some things, that we're not the center of the universe. That our wants, needs, and desires are fleeting and ephemeral and can be, in fact, tolerated to a certain extent. But there is a point at which society, in which individually we can say, this doesn't quite work. And we're there. But we don't see it. And we don't see it because we're taking selfies and branding ourselves on social media and spending an awful lot more time looking and diagnosing the ills of the world around us with great clarity and precision, and when we leave the work entirely behind. Why? Because generationally, societally, we're egomaniacs. We don't see it yet. We will. The canary in that coal mine, friends, is Thanksgiving, and it's being squeezed out faster than the 60-year-old CEO at a tech company. It's going the way of the dodo. Why? Because we're egomaniacs. If you want any proof of that, I invite you to come now and swing into some of the mythology that's being handed to our children. And the, you know, generations behind us. Prominently featured in the Marvel Universe is a story about Loki. Everybody likes Loki. It's Tom Hiddleston. He's charming, good-looking, British, right? He's got that whole accent vibe going for him. This show, Loki, though, has a curious plot line. You've got to suspend some disbelief, because it is, you know, in the Marvel Universe. Loki falls in love with a female version of himself. That's the love story. It's not that Loki loves somebody else that could add to his humility and add to his ability to care and maybe even change the nature of the universe in that universe. No, what Loki is given is a female lead that's himself, but with different parts. It is symbolic, y'all, and we can't miss it. Fall in love with the feminine or male version of yourself and you will be the most happy. That ain't a good recipe. It's not a good recipe for society, but I can tell you it's not a good recipe for humility. Because humility comes when your spouse says, you know what, I really like you, I love you, but you got to take out the trash, right? I really like you, I really love you, but, man, those are hard words to hear because they go against our ego. And as I said, ego is the idol that we've manufactured, and we've done it right in front of our faces. People are literally obsessed with branding themselves, creating for the world an artificial image by which they broadcast and draw in others to find out, how are you like this, perfect all the time? We call them influencers and they make millions. Why? Because we imagine ourselves in that frame. We say, I might not have enough money to have a private jet, I might not have enough money to party with the rock stars, but I can watch so-and-so, and I can hope. I can hope that one day that happens for me. I can hope that one day I see the fulfillment of me. That ain't a Christian message. The fulfillment of me is what society seeks. God seeks to fill you, make no mistake about it. But in order to do it, he's got to get you mostly out of it. You see, it's your ego that keeps you from your relationship and deepening it with Jesus Christ. Now, again, I come from 12-step background, and one of the things we always say about ego is it stands for something. It stands for edge, God, out. Get out, God. I want my world, my brand, my pleasure more than anything else in this world. We're egomaniacs. And what turns off an egomaniac, a narcissist, faster than anything? Gratitude, right? Because in gratitude, the person that is entirely self-obsessed has no external marker. Everything has to be internal. So you have to thank yourself. I thank the gifts or the intelligence that I have to make money. I thank me. I'm Loki, right? Thank me. That's the drift of society. And Jesus Christ says, no, no, no. Pick up your cross and follow me. He says, I'm going to make you fishers of men with the intent that it isn't for your joy or your pleasure. In fact, it's going to be hard work and brutally difficult. People will insult you. People will throw rocks at you. People will maybe even try to crucify you. But you don't live for yourself. You live for Jesus Christ. And it's because Jesus Christ lives that you live. And so who are we to be thankful for? To ourselves? That ain't of this world. That's of the devil. What we're to be thankful for is the God that gave him to us. Because you didn't speak your own world into existence before you got here. I didn't either. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Funny, doesn't mention me. I didn't even create myself, and neither did you. Psalm 139:14. I praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. It's a psalm to God. Who you are is God. Matthew 6:27. Jesus Christ wonders, can you even keep or put an hour or a minute or even a second in your life saying, and which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his lifespan? Which of us can sustain this world? We can't. Doesn't mention us. Psalm 104:30 does. Tells us that the Holy Spirit does something. When you send forth your Spirit, God, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. We got seasons. We got food in our bowls because of what God did in through his power ongoingly. We didn't do any of that, but most importantly, we didn't create our own salvation. We need it. We know that. We're not perfect. We mess up. Read the word. John the Baptist, seeing Jesus for the first time, says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. In Ephesians 1, we hear this. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. See, I can't forgive myself. I can give myself latitude and say, oh, I'm not perfect, and I can forget it. But the thing is, I can't forgive it, not cosmically. Maybe I can reconcile it as a good thing when it's not. But at the end of the day, there's a judgment. Can't get around it, can't avoid it. And it's there that thankfulness will be the first word on any of our lips. Because when we get there, and this is the part we don't like, we see ourselves storming into heaven, ready to party, there's a judgment first. When we're going to be most thankful is there. Because there, standing face to face with the entirety of our sin, we're going to know one thing as a Christian. Jesus has got it handled. Jesus did this work, not me. I didn't have to be perfect. I tried to be good by God's power. But I didn't have to be perfect. And you see, as Christians, that's the thankfulness. If we're doing it right, we bring forward into the here and now. When we get thankful about things, it's good. God did create everything. I don't want us to miss that. But sometimes we leave it right there. It's about the things that we've got or the relationships that we have. And we miss the deeper thread, sometimes the thread that we don't even want to pull on because we know where it ends up. With us naked and on our knees, thanking God for what he did through Jesus Christ. Friends, thanksgiving is about our thanks in our worship of God, in our day-to-day lives. And because it intersects so fulsomely, so robustly, so perfectly with humility, we can see why it's being vacated, emptied, taken out of society. Because you can't thank yourself. You might love yourself like Loki. Just got to go find a female you. And I don't know about y'all, but that scares the heck out of me. Fall in love with that one. Or you fall in love by the power of the Holy Spirit with the right one, which is Jesus Christ. And when you get that thankfulness, your life changes. Because then it is possible. You don't need the stickers. You don't need to be reminded that God made the sun and the rain and the creation such that these flowers came into being or those over there. You don't need it. Why? Because just like Jesus told us, God told us in Jeremiah 31, that the day is surely coming. We're going to hear that one a lot. Here's what we hear in Jeremiah 31:31. As God our Father talks about the covenant that we live under now, you and me, this is us. These people that heard this word to begin with didn't get it. Not at first. This is our word. Hear these words. Behold, the days are surely coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. It's like winning the lottery without ever having bought a ticket. We've done it. God has. For us, in us, and through us in His Holy Spirit. Now there is a story in the Bible that we should not overlook, especially as we come into it at Thanksgiving. It occurs in the Gospel of Luke in the 18th chapter. It's the Pharisee and the publican. I'm going to read it now. Jesus also told this parable to some he trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to play, one a Pharisee and the other tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like the other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, who would have been hated at the time, the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his own eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man who went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The antidote to our ego, the amelioration of our pride, the decimation of that which binds us to darkness, it ain't in self-glorification. It ain't in anything but one, humility. Humility in the understanding that I didn't create the world, I didn't create myself, I didn't create the ongoing blessings that make life here possible, and I darn sure didn't create my own salvation. So you know what? I will be thankful every single day, and you will be grateful every passing moment. And there's only one thing, the full and complete acceptance of the fact that you're a broken sinner, but that God has created the solution in and through Jesus Christ. And when that moment comes, if it hasn't come already, your life becomes a rhapsody of gratefulness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Friends, it is, in fact, a special blessing that now, having heard the word read and proclaimed, that we receive the word in a form that is known to us. Because we come and we celebrate here the table of the Lord. Now, the Lord's table, has been told to us, is not our doing. Now, I can tell you who set the bread and the cups and the juice in the goblet and everything. And those folks are well, good stewards of God's mysteries. Because what and who set this is God. And because it's God's table, the Lord instituted it. The Spirit blesses it with His presence. And because of that, we can know that the Lord is good in a special way. And so we come now into a time of prayer as we seek to prepare ourselves for this blessing of the Word. And received. Heavenly Father, we thank you that in the beginning of time that you spoke your mighty word. You uttered it with such perfect clarity and such authority that everything we'll ever know has sprung into being. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that gift. We thank you every single day as we eat food as we walk in safety and see the birds tweet and the green or now graying grasses underneath foot. Heavenly Father, you are indeed great for your act of creation. But greater still are you in the act of Jesus Christ, your forgiveness of us, our creatures. For we know your word tells us that in the fullness of time, your Son, Jesus Christ, came, took flesh, not as a king, but as a lowly man, a carpenter. And in that space that he worked and taught his disciples and apostles everything they needed to know, blessing them with the Holy Spirit after that he ascended into heaven, that we now worship in this Christ church. Gracious God, we thank you for the salvation he wrought, for the cost for us he paid. And Heavenly Father, we thank you also for the sustaining power of your Holy Spirit, the Spirit that gives life to all things, that changes the seasons, that changes our hearts from hard to soft. We pray and thank. And Heavenly Father, we ask humbly, beseeching you that you would come in the power of your Spirit alongside this bread and this fruit of the vine and make this for us communion entirely with you. Heavenly Father, let us come to this table with humble and penitent hearts. Let us leave with hearts overflowing with the desire to share your love with the world. For we know that in this orientation, from the knowledge of sin to the sacrifice of your blood that made communion possible, and to the worship and work of your holy church made possible by the Holy Spirit, we can apply ourselves to ever more resolutely, because you are God, you are sovereign, you are Lord, you are Savior, you are sustainer in Christ. And we thank you for all of those, concluding this prayer with the prayer you taught us praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. On the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he took the bread and broke it, giving it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, the Lord Jesus Christ took the chalice, and after giving thanks to God, he said, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Every time you drink of this cup, you do this in memory of me." Friends, every time, every single time we gather at this table and eat of this loaf and drink of this cup, friends, we proclaim the death and resurrection in a saving fashion of Jesus Christ, and we do so until he comes again in glory, sits at the head of the table, and we all feast eternally. Friends, taste and see that the Lord is good. Coming around now are two types of bread. One outside of the cup is not gluten-free. The other is gluten-free in the muffin tins. We'll hold the bread until we all have a piece, and then we'll eat it together. Body of Christ given for you. This is the body of Christ given for you.
To God be the glory, for to God be the glory. Well, to God be the glory for the things He has done. You can join me. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He has done.
The blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for having fed us in this meal. We thank you for the spiritual gifts and nurture that you've shared with us in this worship service. Heavenly Father, now, as we're sent out by your word and spirit, enable us to do and go and be and speak in the manner that you would have us do, refreshed by this meal. But most importantly, O Lord, filled with gratitude for what you've done with us and for us in and through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you. We come now into a time of prayer for the needs of our congregation, the needs of the community, and the needs of the world. Join me now. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are indeed a God that has gifted us and blessed us in so many ways. As we travel this week of Thanksgiving, O Lord, continue to lift up our hearts and minds ever presently, so that we might know and feast upon your goodness in such a way that enables us to share your love with the world. Gracious God, we recognize that in this world broken terribly by sin, that difficulty comes into times and into our lives at unexpected times. And Heavenly Father, we pray today for Mike Rozelle, who was having some difficulty earlier. Oh Lord, we continue our prayer for all of the sick and the grieving and the lonely and anxious of this church, of which there are many, Heavenly Father. We think of all the people that aren't able to be with us today because they're shut in or they're unable to travel, and we give thanks for them just as we remember and pray for them before you, O Lord. enable us to be the very hands and minds and arms and legs of Jesus Christ, such that we proclaim your joy in this season of thanks and in the coming season of preparation and then celebration, O Lord. Guide and guard our steps in now this, the beginning of the joyful seasons. Heavenly Father, we make all these prayers to you, hopeful and expectant of your coming kingdom, and we make them all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, at this point, it's the time that we turn our attention to the giving of our tithes and offerings.
You're invited to sing along as we receive our morning offering, 647, Give Thanks. With a grateful heart and give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because we're given Jesus Christ, the Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, the Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because we're given Jesus Christ, the Son. And now let the weak say I, that we are strong. Let the poor say we are rich because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say we are strong. Let the poor say we are rich because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks, give thanks. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gifts that you provide us with in this week of thanks. Fill us with thankfulness in all things and in all ways. In Christ's name, amen. Friends, this week as you, please be seated. This week as you travel out into the world, be filled with the thankfulness that comes from the things that inhabit and populate our life. But underneath all of that, everything could be stripped away like Job. And yet there would be still a core of thanks in all of us because the thankfulness for what Jesus Christ has done transcends anything of this world. They can kill our bodies, but they can't kill us. And that's something to be grateful for. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us this day and forever. Amen.
Sent out in Jesus' name, our hands are ready now to make the earth a place in which the kingdom comes. The angels cannot change a world of hurt and pain into a world of love, of justice and of peace. The task is ours to do, to set us really free. Oh, help us to debate and carry out your will. Have a great Thanksgiving.